John 20 and 20. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Let me start verse 19. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus, and stood in the midst, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in to my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. I want to preach this morning on the hands of Jesus. Actually, among the recorded incidents following the resurrection of Jesus, there is none that is more familiar than that in which Thomas appears as a central figure. Who hasn't heard of Doubting Thomas? Matter of fact, Thomas was one of the ones in John chapter 11 when Jesus is there and Lazarus is sick and they're sending for Jesus, and Jesus tells them that he's coming, and the disciples rise up and they tell the Lord, said, Lord, don't you remember it's at Jerusalem that they're talking about stoning thee? And finally it comes down and Jesus explains to him that Lazarus is not just asleep, but Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to go there. And it was Thomas who spoke up and said, let us all go that we may die with him. You can tell in the life of Thomas, and actually the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information about this man, but you know, there's a little bit of Thomas in all of us. I mean, he's ever been guilty, amen, of having a little bit of Thomas, amen, in all of us. But don't forget, when you turn your Bible to the book of Acts chapter 1, and it grows down that list of those men that were in that upper room to start the church, Thomas is in there. When you look at this scripture, and the Bible talks here about how that he appeared to his disciples, the only one was not there, of course, was Thomas. Thomas wasn't there in the beginning. The Mary Magdalene and Mary had seen the risen Lord. Now all the other 10 disciples had seen the risen Lord. Amen. And only Thomas. And the scripture here tells us how that when Thomas came back into the upper room where they were at, that the other 10 disciples began to just extremely tell Thomas of the good news that he has risen. Amen. He rose from the dead. Matter of fact, I was studying some again this morning and late last night, and the Greek actually reads in this verse in number 25 that the Bible said that the Greek says that they continually over and over and over trying to convince this Thomas, this disciple, amen, of the risen Lord. He wasn't there when he first appeared to him. You know, you can imagine. I mean, all the other 10 disciples had seen him face to face. So all their doubt had withered away.
All their disbelief, all their sorrow, all their sadness was gone. Their hearts was exuberant. Their hearts was full of joy. They had seen the risen Savior. They had seen him face to face. He appeared right in the midst behind a locked door, been a fearful group of Jews. Amen. But when they saw Jesus, all fear left. He had done what he said he would do, and that is raise on the third day. And when they began to converse with Thomas, he says, except I see in his hands the prints of the nails. Unless I thrust my hand in his side, I shall not believe. Here was 10 of his friends. Here was 10 witnesses saying the same thing. Thomas, we've seen him. We've seen him, Thomas. We were behind shut doors. They were locked, and he just appeared, Thomas. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe all 10 of you. He said, except I see, his hands. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands. Amen. I mentioned Wednesday night. Have you ever wondered, why Thomas said his hands? He was a follower of Christ. Why did not Thomas say, I'm not going to believe unless I see his face? I'm not going to believe unless I hear his voice. I know his voice. I know his soft tenor. He didn't say anything of that. He didn't speak of his face or his voice. Amen. But Thomas said his hands. You ever wonder why that Thomas, referred to the hands of Jesus? You must understand, there is doubt here in Thomas's voice. There's a slight, almost a sad arrogance, if you will. It's hard to believe that a man would raise from the dead. But you must understand, in Thomas's mind, all he can do is see the nails driven in the hands of Jesus Christ and in his feet. And Thomas here said, I won't believe except I see in his hands the prints of the nails. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the hands of Jesus are referred to around 45 times in the Gospels alone. Amen. You see, the world today, things haven't really changed, haven't it? The doubters of this generation, just like Thomas and the men who would stand on the outer edge of the Christian fellowship, still say to those who proclaim the Christian faith, show us your hands. Some people do not care a great deal about the voice of Christians, the argument which are presented to demonstrate the truth of various creeds. They're not interested in the appearance of Christians as to whether followers of Christ or different in dress or position from other men. More than anything else, this doubt world desires to see the Christians' hands. Why is it? Because someone has declared that the hand is only the servant of the mind. Hands reveal a lot of an individual. When you look at this, why Thomas? Why the hands? The first thing I want you to notice is Thomas knew that if he seen the hands of Jesus, he would see suffering hands. He wanted to gaze upon those nail prints, symbolically of the agony upon the cross. Those ugly wounds, he thought, would demonstrate definitely that the wondrous guest that those 10 disciples talked about was really the risen Lord. Same way with us. Same way with this world. Amen. Men today still look for the marks of suffering in the hands of faithful followers of Christ. The Christian religion is a religion of sacrifice. It summons men to a life of service for others. I read an illustration of something that happened during the French Revolution, talking about hands. It said, during the terrible days of the French Revolution, the final test to see who was the high-class society group or the involved in that government was an examination of the hands. People of wealth and position were dragged before the citizens' tribunal. Their prison dirtied faces, their tattered clothes did not mark them as different from their accusers. But when their hands were examined, the tale of their past lives were revealed. In other words, if their hands were soft and free from calluses, then those would realize and condemn them to death. Christianity today is on trial throughout the entire world. As never before in all its history, people are weighing the true worth of our faith. Words in themselves are no longer convincing. Men are tired of words. The largest test is this. They want to see some deeds. There have been a lot of preachers preach the gospel that didn't live the gospel. And it has hurt the Christian faith. The late 1980s and all the television evangelists, all the scandals. I don't know how it was here in South Alabama, whether you agree with them or you didn't. The fact is, Swagger, amen, was probably one of the largest, if not the largest, television evangelist that has ever been in the history of television evangelists. I remember I got saved in the Church of God, and when I'd come to church on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, that's all everybody be talking. Did you hear what Swagger preached about today? But the thing is when that happened, you must understand, there was sinner people. I knew sinner people and ladies in our community that literally watched him every Sunday. But when he did what he did, because see, he was sort of one of us, if you will. He was the Pentecostal. They had the Baptist rise up. They'd had a lot of different things, but that's really for the mega churches. Back then, for all of that, I mean, he was sort of, and he preached a good gospel. He did. He preached the Trinity. He preached the virgin birth. He preached on the deity of Jesus Christ. But what I'm saying is when he did that and he showed the world his dirty hands, it hurt Christianity. Amen. We represent Christ. And just like Doubt Thomas wanted to see the hands of Jesus, for he believed, there's a doubting world out there that says, I don't know what to believe. I don't know really who to believe. Is Islam right? Is Muslim right? Is Hindu right? Is Buddha right? I mean, is Christianity right? And let's face up, church, we've got to have clean hands. We've got to have hands that show some suffering, that show some dedication. And that's what Thomas, though yes, you can pinpoint Thomas down and make him look bad if you want to, but the thing was, is you got to understand the one thing that made Thomas, amen, Jesus' hands, amen, when he said, if I can see those hands, if I can see the hands of Jesus, then I'll be convinced that he is the Lord and he's God. That's what this world needs to see out of me and you. It's a church that has clean hands. I mean, the second thing that Thomas wanted to see those hands for, he expected those hands of Jesus to be clean. And I've got on my second part without even knowing it. He had looked upon the master's hands many times, Brother Daniel. He had seen those hands. Amen. They were unsold by the foulness of the world. As he had lifted them up before his followers, Jesus' hands came to symbolize a kind of purity that Thomas never seen or found in other men. I mean, listen, and in respect also, this world has not changed. Men today still expect the Christian to hold clean hands before the world. How many television, and I'm not on a trip here, whatever, you know. But I'm just saying the world, I mean, you ever notice how that they just classify every Pentecostal in one group? Do you know there's probably hundreds of different Pentecostal groups? Just like there are hundreds of different Baptist groups. Oh, if there's ever time, church, we need to have clean hands. You remember Judas? Talking about an example of a man with unclean hands, it was Judas Iscariot who rushed into the presence of those elders clutching his grimy pieces of silver. You know why? They burned his hands. Amen. The dirt seemed to penetrate his very flesh. When he held out his hand, it was as if he preferred to be separated from the instrument which had accepted the blood money. His agony of spirit was revealed in the mumbled, amen, confession, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Judas was a man who knew the horrible experience of having unclean hands. I've heard preachers tell me that preachers that have fallen to adultery tell them, "Stay humble." It was just, I can't remember who it was. Somebody the other day I heard tell some preacher that had backslid, who committed adultery, was telling this younger preacher, he said, "Son, whatever you do, stay humble and pray." What he was saying was, "I've got unclean hands." Amen. And I've never, and this is how it happened. I got prideful. I got arrogant. Amen. Pride was lifted up in me. I thought I was somebody. I could preach with the best of them. Amen. I got out of being humble and I quit praying. And he was trying to say, "Hey, you know how to keep clean hands, young man? Amen. You know how to keep clean hands? Amen. Stay humble and pray. Don't get unclean hands." Who wants to hear a preacher with unclean hands? There ain't a person here that wants to hear a preacher or a pastor that has unclean hands. You want somebody that's going to lead you and guide you that's got clean hands. Even a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or somebody in the church, you want somebody that lives what they say they live. That's why Thomas, when he said, "Except I see his hands, I got to see those nail prints." Amen. It implies somewhere, you know. And we know by the scripture that the disciples wasn't there at the foot of the cross, but somewhere in the shadow, he must have looked. Somewhere in the shadow. Amen. Those hands that had those nails in them. My Lord, he'd seen them caress little children. He'd seen them, amen, lift up and heal blinded eyes. He'd seen them spit on the ground and take the little dirt in his hands and touch the man with blinded eyes. I mean, these hands, oh, I hope I could preach to you this morning. I'm not talking about anybody's hands. I mean, there's some folks that, amen, would like to shake the president's hand or something like that. But I want to tell you, ain't nothing like the hands of Jesus. Amen. Oh, yes. The song said, when he reached way down and he picked me up. How'd he do that? With his hands. Oh, the old saying said, how much did he love me? He stretched forth his hands. Much. There's something about the hands of Jesus that Thomas was mad. He was just mesmerized. He said, except I see his hands. He didn't say his face. He didn't say his voice. He didn't say his feet. He didn't say a miracle. He said, except I see his hands. Amen. If I can see those nail prints, if I can put my finger where that nail went, he said, I believe. Woo! My, they was clean hands. I said they were clean hands. Shakespeare wrote a play called Lady Macbeth. I haven't read it. Wouldn't want to probably. But an illustration goes that, amen, that this Lady Macbeth had, her mind had planned a murderous deed. But the illustration said, but it was her hand which had accomplished them. And in time, the guilt and the, amen, of humanity across the ages, amen, is revealed in her endless rubbing of her hands together as if to wish them clean, while she cried out in this play of Shakespeare, "Out! Out! Get out! Get out of my hands!" Because she said, "Here's the smell of the blood still, and all the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this little hand." You know what? Her hand had become dirty. Oh, but not so with Jesus. Carl Sandburg, in his book called Abraham Lincoln War Years, paints a vivid picture of John Wilkes. And they said when they finally caught him and he's laying there on the porch and he's dying, he gazed up at his hands. And in that moment, a look of agonized despair crossed his face. He told him first to tell his mother that he did it, that he thought he did it for the best. But then when he looked at his hands, agonized and despair crossed his face. And with superhuman strength, he raised himself from the pillow. He lifted up his hands and held up them up with the palms up. And he whispered, "Useless." Oh, I'm telling you something. When I need a friend in the darkest hour of my life, I don't want a friend with unclean hands. When I'm sick in body, I don't need somebody with unclean hands. Amen. When I'm having marital trouble, I don't want anybody with unclean hands. When I'm down and out, when I'm busted and disgusted, I don't want anybody with unclean hands. I want to talk to my Jesus. I want to talk to my Savior. Thomas knew those hands were clean hands. Amen. The hands. Thomas, the doubter, desired in the upper room to see the hands of the Master. He knew that they would be clean hands if it were truly his Christ. I wonder if a doubter, any of you go to school with a doubter? Any of you work around an atheist? Come on here, let me preach to you. I said, any of you ever contact with an atheist? Any of you, anybody here ever be in contact with an agnostic? Anybody ever come in here with somebody that, I'll tell you what you need to do. You know, the best defense for Christianity is a Christian. The best defense for Christianity is a Christian. I read that years ago. I have never forgotten that. The best defense for Christianity is a Christian with clean hands. How am I going to convince them? What can I say? Just keep your hands clean. Let your light shine before them that they may see and glory. Keep your hands clean. Come on, you represent Christ. Ain't that right? Christ has went back and ascended back to the Father. Amen. I believe in the Trinity too, Brother Joe. He ascended back to the Father, sitting on the right hand. Amen. And we represent Christ to this world. That's why we call ourselves Christians. Oh, I know the mega churches has took it and used it as a generic term and flea market term, if you will. But when I say Christian, I mean a Bible Christian. I mean a King James Version, excuse me, Bible Christian. Amen. Somebody that lives, talks, walks, amen, and acts, amen, like a Christian. Somebody that's got clean hands. You might work with a Thomas. You might work with somebody that don't really, just doubtful. Doubtful if Christianity is really true. Doubtful if it's really, if there's really a God. Amen. You know how you can keep clean hands. The third thing. I'm coming to a close within a couple hours. The third thing. The doubting disciple expected the hands of the Master to be marked by service for others. Thomas had looked upon those hands on many occasions. He had seen them as they had touched the eyes of the blind, or when they was raised in benediction over the 5,000 on the mountain and gave thanks and break bread. They were the hands that accustomed to serving others. Thomas was sure that he could recognize his Lord by the appearance of his hands. That's a little odd now, really. So it's a little different here. When you think of Thomas asking for his hand, I'll know it's Christ if I can see his hands. But there's something different. I looked at my hands a while ago when I prayed up there. And see, my hands ain't like Jesus' hands, because his hands holds him, Brother Daniel, where spikes were driven on an old rugged cross. And Thomas might have heard the hammer ring. He might have seen the blood flow. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. I'm talking about the hands of Jesus. But David, see, Thomas might have been, I don't know, he might have been over in the shadows. I can't help to think that they were somewhere close by. And he could hear that ringing of that hammer, Sister Carolyn, those hands. And he realized he did it for me. Y'all talking about, I don't know why he loved me, Brother Joe, during Sunday school. Can you imagine those hands? I never seen nobody do nothing like that for me. Thomas said, it ain't his face, though I would love his face, but and it ain't his voice, and I love his tender voice. Amen, but it's those hands. There's something about those hands. I've seen them reach out for folks that rejected them. I've seen them take time for the small children. I've seen them take time. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. In similar manner, people in every century have looked at the hands of those who were called Christians, expecting them to be hardened by service for others. I want to ask you, is your hands got calluses, or they got blisters on them for working for God, or have you got soft dishwashing hands? As a Christian, I mean, if the world looked at your hands, would you yes, he's a Christian. He's got that resemblance of a Christian. I read an illustration. Anybody's ever seen the portrait or the sculpture of the praying hands? It was two men that wanted to be a painter. They both wanted to be a painter. They wanted to be a sculptor. They wanted to be an artist. And one was a young man. His name was Albert Dürer. And they had to work to pay the rent. And they got together and they shared a room. And they had to work. And they realized that they really couldn't, if they had to work and provide, they couldn't really put their expertise and their time and all their sculpting and really make something of themselves as an artist. So they come up with an idea. The older man said, well, I tell you what, why don't one of us work and pay the bills while the other one does nothing but paint and sculpt and perfect it to where he can start selling his work, and then he can pay the rent. And then the other one will quit. And while the one's already advanced where he can sell his stuff, the other one will pick up. And they said, okay. And the younger one said, I'll be the first. I'll go work. And you do the sculpting. And the older man said, no, I'll work. You're more talented than I am. And he looked at the young Mr. Durrell and he said, you paint, you sculpt, you, and I'll go work. And so the older man went and worked while the younger man began to paint and sculpt and perfect his ability to sculpt and things of that nature. And so the other man, it was many years ago, and this other man worked hard and washed dishes and scrubbed floors and just extremely worked severely, long hours, long 6-7 days a week. And finally, after several months, maybe close to a year, somehow, the younger man finally made a sculpture. He went and sold a wooden sculpture, and for quite a large sum, that he was able to pay the rent for several months and enough money to buy food. So they come home and met, and he said, I've sold one. Hey, you can quit now. You can take up your brush and you can start back. The older man was all excited. But when the older man began to pick up his brush and try to paint and try to sculpt, amen, his months of hard work had his bones and his hands swell and different things and distort. And he couldn't hold his brush as quite like he always held it. And he couldn't paint no more. He was saddened. He was all both saddened. But one day, the story goes that the young man was gone. And the old man was back at home praying. The young man comes back home unexpectedly early. And he hears somebody crying and praying. He eases inside the house to a room, and he opens the door and cracks the door. He sees that older man kneeling beside of his bed with his hands perfectly formed. And he realizes what that man did for him. And he said, I got to paint that. I got to sculpt that. What an expression of faith. That's where praying hands come from. We teach our little children, don't we? I've sung with the little children. All right, everybody on your knees now, children. Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Praying hands. Wow. Talking about the hands of Jesus. Oh, I would to God we could have clean hands that represent Christ. That if any doubter would see clean hands in our life, would become a believer. You see, every individual needs to ask himself frequently what story his hands relate concerning his true self. What story are your hands telling on you? Every individual needs to ask himself frequently, what story is it? His hands relate concerning his true self. Your hands are only a servant, I said earlier, to your mind. They only reveal what's in your heart. You can tell a lot of man. You can tell a lot about a man what he touches, what he does, where he goes, what he does with his hands. Does he feed the poor? Does he shake hands with a widow woman? Does he pass out bread to the needy? The hands of Jesus. Jesus' hands can reveal the truth of the resurrection for the doubting disciple. Only by the hands of the Master could all the mysteries be cleared. They were the key for Thomas. But you got to understand, I'm not finished. Because it was 8 days later, Sister Veda. One commentator said, 8 days. He made Thomas wait 8 days. Those other 10 had seen him that first day. But the Bible said 8 days later. They're in a room again. The door's shut. But this time Thomas is there. And all of a sudden Jesus appears. And he just looks at Thomas. I'll tell you something. You can say what you want about Thomas. But I don't hear Jesus. There's a slight rebuke. But it's so tender and so loving. Sister Jewel, it's so tender and it's so loving that he just says, Thomas, right there. Put your finger, Thomas, right there. Put your hand right here, Thomas. Whew. And Thomas goes, my Lord. Whew. I feel chill bumps on that. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. One writer said, no other statement could have been made. He said, my Lord, my God, you are here. You're the risen Savior. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to ask you this morning, how many of you who would witness with me, don't quickly raise your hand, but I've never seen his hands, Brother Earl. I've never seen the hands of Jesus. But how many would be honest, how many's ever felt the hand of Jesus on your life? How many's ever felt the hands of Jesus? I've never seen his hands, Sister Eloise, but I felt his hands. I felt his hands. And in closing right here, is there anybody here this morning? You need to feel the hands of the Lord here. Are you lost here this morning? Anybody in the house? Quickly, I'm not going to linger. Would you like to come and let those nail-pierced hands touch your life and set you free? Is there one? Lost without God, a backslider away from God. Is there one here this morning that you just need a touch from those hands, maybe for a physical need? Come on. I want you to come up here and stand right now. There should be several on that one. Come on. If you need a touch physically by those hands, come on, Brother Earl, Brother James, you brothers. Come on, preacher brothers. Come on. Come on, Brother Houston, help us pray. You and Brother Morris, come on. Come on. Come on, some of you sisters. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just come up here and stand if you need a touch of his hands. Lord, I believe you, Lord. Because you know it's more blessed. We believe and we haven't seen. And Jesus said that was better. Lord, I've never seen your hands. Same girls. I've never seen the hands of Jesus. But I need him to touch me this morning. I need that scarred hands of the Savior touch my life this morning. Come on, our visitors are welcome. Come on, everybody. Why don't we just come around the front, stand and worship the Lord. Come on. Come on. Maybe somebody here, you got away from his hands. You used to just feel his presence so close. You used to feel his presence so close. But you hear this morning, you don't feel that closeness no more. Come on, Sister Bonnie. Pray for us, saints. Pray for us, sister. Come on, Brother Gore. Come on. Thank you for the nail-scarred hands. Thank you for those nail-scarred hands, God. Sister Annette, it was those nail-scarred hands that watched over your son. You know that, don't you? Because a mama was praying, God, watch over my children. Watch over my children. Oh, saints of God. Can we just love him this morning? Would that be all right? Can we just lift our hands and just love the Lord this morning? Thank you, Lord, for those nail-scarred hands. Sing it, girls. When my Savior reached down for me. Oh, yes. Wasn't just any hands. No. Those hands had paid a price. Those hands had paid a price for me. My God. That's it.
Without God. When he reached down his head.
Hallelujah.
For me.
The hands of Jesus. Oh God.
I was near.
Oh God. Nail scarred.
When he came to me there.
When you go to heaven.
And he showed.
You'll see him.
Me that
I
should be free.
I believe you'll see those nail scarred hands. My Lord, my God.
Gave me glory complete when he reached down his head.
Come on, church, let's find a place to pray.
Me.
Just pray for a season. Oh, we love the Lord. Come on.
Reach down.
Sing it.
For me.
Sing it, girls, sing it. Come on.
He had to reach.
You remember when he reached down for you?
For me.
If you're lost here this morning, you're welcome to come.
I was lost and in death without God.
Oh God.
For his son.
You're welcome this morning.
He reached down his head for me.
Oh, sing it.
Now my heart.
Oh, listen.
Doth rejoice since I made,
when I made him
my choice.
From the clean hands, Lord. Help me to have clean hands. Help me to have clean hands, Lord. I got family members, Lord, that I need to have clean hands. I don't want to be known as a complainer, a murmur, gossiper. I don't want to be known as, no, Lord. Just let me be a Christian. A Bible Christian. Help me to have clean hands.
He had to reach way down for me.
I see now, Thomas, why you asked to see his hands.
I was lost.
Nail prints. It was those nail prints. Come on.
When he reached down his head for me.
Oh, yes.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way.
Come on, let those nails
start. And
let those nail hands
as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace, joy and love when he reached down his hand for me.
Hallelujah.
When the Savior I was lost
Talitha. Oh, let the nail-scarred hands wrap around me. Come on, church. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Come on, Sister Lee. How am I going to make it tomorrow? I'm going to keep my hand in His hand. The thing about it, when my grip gets a little weak, His won't get weak. No, no, no. If He bore those nails for me, He can keep me in my hour of trial.
Then He reached down His hand for me.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
I was nearing despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free.
Lord, You did it for me. Those nails. God, never thought of the hands of Jesus like that. My God, my Lord. Oh, God. Now, Lord, we represent Christ to this earth. Lord, and there's so many that's doubting You. Help me to have clean hands. Help my life to be holy. Help my life to be pure.
Help me. Lay down for me. I was lost and in death without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Thomas said those nail-scarred hands prove that He loves you. And just like nobody else's hands, no, they need something. And I think of those nail-scarred hands. Did it for me.